You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
This is the SpursCast with your host, Paul Garcia.
And welcome back to another episode of the SpursCast. On today's episode, I will be speaking with Project Spurs writer Benjamin Bornstein. In this episode, Ben and I will discuss NBA draft prospects with the lottery getting closer each week. Let's go ahead and jump right into this episode with Ben. Ben, how you doing?
I'm great, sir. How are you?
I'm doing very well myself, man. So like I said, the lottery's not until May 16th. You and I are recording on April 25th. So, you know, a little less than a month away. But let's go ahead and jump right into this, Ben, just to kind of go through some prospects. So I'm going to go ahead and project this screen just because there's a lot of information on here. So let's first begin with Victor Wembanyama. Obviously, you know, every mock has him number one. He's still the consensus number one. We do want to note that the Spurs can fall anywhere from number one all the way through number seven in that lottery on May 16th. Now let's go to Scoot Henderson, because there are a few mocks that have started to push, not a lot, but some have been more risky in putting him at three and putting Brandon Miller at two. So let's just say the Spurs end up with the second pick. Is the best choice still to take Scoot Henderson there at number two?
Yes, absolutely. No question. Do it. That's your point guard of the future. Don't think about it. Stop thinking.
Okay. And then, of course, if the Spurs end up at number three, well, then most mocks have Brandon Miller there from Alabama at 6'9". Where do you think there? The Spurs are a team that has, they want the player who's really talented, but also, you know, we know that he has some off-court issues, and that's one thing that San Antonio usually doesn't like to add to their locker room, or players who come in with some off-court issues. What do you think the Spurs might do there if they end up with number three?
If they end up with number three, I am very much, that's tough. At three, they very well could take Brandon Miller, call it a day, and say, we did our research, we feel good. Mm-hmm. You know, everything that he said in the interview checked out, we're fine.
Okay.
I would be okay with that for the most part.
Yeah, exactly. So, and again, it's not like, you know, we don't know exactly where the process is going in that off the court controversy. So again, we'll kind of see what happens there. I agree there. I think San Antonio would take him if they end up with number three. Now here's where it gets a little interesting. So let's just say the Spurs end up with the fourth pick. The consensus pick right there is Amen Thompson, 6'7" out of Overtime Elite. Is that still the best choice, or do you mean that's where they get in the territory maybe starting to look at trades, you know, to go back in the draft?
You maybe entertain some trades. And again, I've said this with Joe Garcia a few times, and I'm pretty sure I've screamed this on Twitter somewhere, but like when you get to number five, that's where you have to, that's where you really start considering trades. And I would even do so at four, but at four, for me at four and five, there's almost no difference.
Okay.
At four, if you're going to use your pick and keep it, Amen Thompson, good with that. I'm comfortable with that. That's a 6'7" point guard who's going to be great defensively for you immediately. He should be. They've got some bad habits in Overtime Elite, but he has the athleticism, the speed, mm-hmm. the strength, all of those things to be a good defensive point guard. You just got to teach him the shooting. I'm going to go ahead and move to five for you.
Go ahead.
I know we're going to get there. Five for me, no question, Jairus Walker. If you're going to use the pick and keep it, Jairus Walker, number five, do it. Fantastic defensive big, versatile, will guard three or four positions for you. Offense is not going to hurt you at all. He's going to provide a little bit of mid-range shooting, maybe a little bit of outside shooting. at the power forward position. He can kind of play small ball five if you need him to. Good rebounder, good defender. Five is where I really start looking at, let's consider some trades. And okay. If you're going to trade down, I think the only team you trade with in this draft right now is the Orlando Magic. And we're operating under the assumption that they are going to have their own top 10 pick and they are going to have a Bulls top 10 pick. I think the Bulls pick is top four protected, if I'm not mistaken, but their likelihood of getting the number a top four pick is super low.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we're operating under the assumption that the Magic have both of those picks. And they're going to, they have both the picks. They're going to trade up. They also have a ton of dudes on their roster that are young and they like them. So using two lottery picks for them doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So moving them up one or moving them up into the top five to just take one guy makes more sense.
Okay, you know what now? I think once the lottery's over, I'm going to have some other prospects now, those ranges where the Magic picks are going to be. And just so that when next time I bring you on, I want you to we can definitely dive into those prospects. Let me ask you something, though. It felt like when I did the January mock update and then also the February one before March Madness, it felt like Jairus Walker was a little bit lower. And now it feels like he's kind of like improved his draft status because of the tournament. Do you feel like that's kind of what happened? Or maybe am I just seeing things wrong?
I thought his draft stock was improving even before March Madness. Mm-hmm. He had been playing really well in conference play. It helps that they're not in a great conference. They're in the AAC, which is probably like the seventh or eighth best conference in the country. But he was still playing much better than he was at the beginning of the season. He understood his role very well. He was playing excellent defense. He was rebounding the heck out of the ball. March certainly didn't hurt him. His team was hurt. A lot of other guys on that team were physically hurt, and then they got hurt when they didn't get to the Final Four being played in Houston. So that was not ideal. But for him, great season, I think.
Okay. And then now I want to get into some prospects who are kind of like still mentioned in the top seven again. I'm just going to go through the list of names. Then you can kind of tell me, you know, who do you like, or is this spot one through? Yeah. Four through seven too high for these players. So let's begin with Cam Whitmore, 6'7" out of Villanova. He's seventh on some mocks. His mock average is about eighth. Then we have Anthony Black, 6'7" out of Arkansas. He's sixth and seventh on some mocks. Mock average is about eighth. Taylor Hendricks, 11th, 6'9". He's 6'9". Yes. Fourth and seventh, or some mocks have him going there. Mock average is about 11th, though, so that's pretty high reach right there. Nick Smith Jr., 6'5", out of Arkansas, 7th on one mock, and then his mock average is about 13th, and then also Keontae George, 6'4", out of Baylor, 6th on a mock. Mock average is about 13th as well. I'm going to go to fix that slide that I had. Any of those players intrigue you? If that player landed between, like, 4 and 7, or do you know that's a reach for any of those players? What do you think?
I don't think any of those guys. Well, Taylor Hendricks is probably a reach at 7.
Okay.
He's definitely a guy who's later in the lottery. He's still a lottery pick, but later in the lottery. Cam Whitmore, mm-hmm. I've seen a lot at 7, and that makes sense to me. I have no issue with that. Anthony Black in that range is fine as well. He's a 6'7" point guard. You really liked what he did for Arkansas. There were times where he was holding that team together by threads, because he was the only like true point guard who could play at the position because Nick Smith was injured so often. So he was asked to do a lot that he may not have necessarily wanted or should have been doing. So I think he gets a lot of credit for that, which he should.
And I feel like, just going back to the tournament, how we said like it felt like Jairus Walker made a little bit of a jump. I feel like the tournament really hurt Nick Smith Jr. and Keontae George, because after they both played in the tournament, I really feel like their draft stock kind of plummeted a little bit more. They were both like in the kind of close to that lottery range when I first, you know, did some mocks back in the January and February.
Yeah, I think for Nick Smith, he didn't play particularly well in the tournament games, and he needed to because he had played so few regular season games. He was a guy who was injured off and on throughout the season in his lone season at Arkansas. People wanted to see more consistency out of him, and they didn't get the showcase they were hoping for from him. So he fell a little bit. And Keontae George, I think there were just not a lot of people who were watching a whole lot of Baylor throughout the season because everybody figured, they'll be solid. They'll be good in the Big 12. It'll be fine. But that Baylor team was really weird. And Keontae George, I thought, was a bit of a shot jacker. His efficiency numbers are really bad. He took a lot of tough shots. So on top of not making them, the decision-making was not great, I thought, at times. But he could be a really good defensive guard, potentially defending one or two positions. So he has that potential. But Baylor not advancing very far, not playing particularly well, also hurt him.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So again, we don't want to dive too much into the the top seven, just because again, we don't know exactly where the Spurs' lottery pick is going to be. It's most likely going to be a top three pick is the best, the best odds, 14% there. And if not, the fourth spot is really good for them. The rarest chance, like we talked about on the Two Shots podcast with Joe Garcia, Ben and I recently, was that there's a 93% chance that it's not going to be number seven. So again, the seventh pick right there is probably the most unlikely, though. There's a rare chance that it could
happen. You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
So again, we'll kind of see what happens on May 16th whenever the lottery does take place. And like Ben said, I do want to, I'm more intrigued now to start looking at some trade teams and seeing, who has some picks down the line and get, number 5 through 7. And maybe they do look at maybe trading back if they don't end up.
If you want picks this year, I mean, to me, it's only the Orlando Magic. If you're looking at picks maybe for next year, you probably start looking at OKC.
Okay. So yes, definitely something considering.
Yeah, OKC has just stockpiled all of those picks.
Yeah, and you made such a great point about Orlando.
They're going to have to be buyers in the sense that they're going to jettison some of the younger talent, realizing, okay, we have guys we like. We need a veteran or two to come in here, and that's going to complete us as a playoff team and as a true contender, so we can get rid of all of these picks, knowing that we're going to be making playoffs year in and year out for the next however many years.
Yeah, no, for sure. It's almost like it reminds me of the Spurs' cap space right now with the new CBA coming. It's like you're gonna have to use that cap space like eventually. It's like
gonna be a nightmare to go through.
So yeah, it won't start in year one. All right, man. So now let's go to the second round. And again, these are just very early, draft mock drafts. We don't exactly know where the Spurs are going to pick in terms of the first second round pick that they're going to have. They're going to have 32nd or 33rd. It just depends on where they and the Rockets fall in the lottery. So we'll know that on lottery night on May 16th. But we do know they're going to have the 44th pick, a second round pick via the Toronto Raptors. So what we're going to do here, Ben, let's first focus on the 32nd/33rd range. We don't have to talk about every single one of these players, but do any of these players intrigue you? Do you expect not to see these players there in the second round, or should the Spurs absolutely grab that player if they do fall? By chance to the second round. So let's begin here. We have Bryce Sensabaugh, 6'6", out of Ohio State. He's expected to go to the first round. Mock average is 20th, but one mock did have him at 32nd. We have Derek Lively, the second, 7'1", out of Duke. He's also supposed to go in the first round. Mock average is 22nd. We have Trace Jackson Davis, 6'9", out of Indiana. His mock average is also first rounder, 28th. We have Bilal Koulibaly, 6'7", out of Metropolitan's 92, which is where Victor Wembanyama plays. He's also supposed to go late in the first round at 29th. We have Kobe Jones, 6'6", out of Xavier. Mock average is right there at 30th. And then we have Andre Jackson, 6'6", out of UConn. Mock average is kind of right there at 35th. So that's a player who's more realistic in terms of being right there at the 33rd spot. Do any of those players, Ben, intrigue you? And who should the Spurs actually absolutely take if that player were to fall to 32, 33?
Yeah, Bryce Sensabaugh and Derek Lively are not going to be there. They should be first round locks. No question. Okay. Trace Jackson Davis, if he falls there, take him. People probably won't like that as much. He's basically a 6'9 center who doesn't shoot outside of the paint, but his rim protecting has been fantastic for Indiana. He can get whatever he wants when he's posting up. You can run a second unit offense around him, really, is what it comes down to. Bilal Koulibaly has been getting a lot of hype recently because he plays with Mets 92 and with Victor Wembanyama, and he's been playing really well. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him there. That would be a solid pick. Colby Jones is a guy I personally like too, 6'6 wing. Andre Jackson, I think if he decides to stay in the draft, I believe he hired an agent but kept his eligibility. So if he decides to stay, I really like him too. That's a really good connective piece. There were times he made UConn run smoothly. So okay. I'm about that life.
I'm glad you really brought that up right there. So yes, you know, just for those, you know, that have, you know, gone through the lottery process before kind of listening to the Spurs cast, we do want to note though, like Ben said though, that there is an early, there's an early entry, you know, withdrawal deadline kind of thing that's going to happen. I believe it's in sometime in June. I'll have to look it up at some point, but yes. So not all these players that we're going to talk about today may even end up staying in the draft. They may, you know, they may decide to go back to college or back to their professional team if they're overseas players and maybe wait another year to come into the draft. All right, Ben, now let's look at some players in the 44th pick range. Just, you know, you don't talk about every single player here. Just, is there anybody here who intrigues you? If the player to fall there, should the Spurs absolutely take that player? So we have Nikola Durisic, 6'8 out of Mega Mozarts from Serbia. Mock average is about 43rd, so right there in that range. Jalen Clark, 6'5 out of UCLA. Mock average is right there at 44. Tristan Vukovic, 6'11, Serbia, out of Serbia, mock average is about 50th. And then Imani Bates, 6'10 out of Eastern Michigan, mock average is about 51st. So Bates and Vukovic should be there, you know, according to these mocks right now. Is there any of those players intrigue you?
So I haven't gotten to look at any of the European guys yet, so I don't really have an opinion on Durisic, Vukovic. I don't have an opinion on either of those guys, but Jalen Clark at 44 would be really nice. Great defensive guard slash wing. Probably was underrated at UCLA because they just had a lot of dudes. They legitimately had like 6 or 7 starters, and you just can't play all of them starter minutes. So I think he kind of got lost in there a little bit. But I like him. Imani Bates scares me. He's had some off-court issues.
Oh, okay. And
he was really bad at Memphis and needed to get out. And I think part of it was all of that mega hype that he got going into college. And on top of that, he went a year early, which I think hurt him. And then he kind of got to go to EMU after Memphis, try and reset. And he played much better, and he was a much different player. He was a much better player. But that's a guy who's also super skinny. He's going to have to put on weight at some point. I actually don't even know if he's worth a flyer at 44. But where you had him on your average mock at 50th, I'd probably feel fine.
Okay. So Moses, too much of a stretch. And then lastly, you know, I meant to put this in these players in the notes, but let's just go straight to the Project Spurs homepage. I do want to mention two of the players you recently wrote about. And if you kind of give the Spurs cast listeners, you know, just some background on these players, and of course they can read the full profiles that you wrote there on Project Spurs. So let's begin here. We have Isaiah Wong, and then we also have Cason Wallace. So I know you already talked about Trace Jackson Davis. Also, if you want to mention about Amari Bailey, those are three players that you recently wrote about. You want to say anything about those players?
Yeah, Isaiah Wong, ACC Player of the Year, will score almost at will. He takes and makes difficult shots on the regular. If you can get him to lock in mentally on defense, he can be a good defender. He didn't always care too much because Miami said, we're just going to try to outscore you in a lot of their games. And they did. I mean, they were the best team in the ACC. So you can get away with that. As far as Cason Wallace goes, he's the best perimeter defender in this draft. No questions. The offense is okay. He's shown some flashes. I think he's capable of more because a lot of times when guys go to Kentucky, Coach Calipari doesn't feature them. And he doesn't let them play necessarily the style that they would like or that would be best for them. Great example of this. Karl Anthony Towns basically never shot threes for Kentucky. Does that now as a much better offensive player. Bam Adebayo didn't do as much for Kentucky as he's doing for the Miami Heat. So there's certainly a precedent for Cason Wallace to come out and be a much different player than what he was in college and probably be better.
And when you say he's like one of the premier defenders, are you talking about like he's like one of the lockdown defenders, or like one of those defenders like makes plays everywhere? It's just kind of involved in everything and blowing plays up. That's that kind of defender.
I mean, definitely a lockdown guy on ball, but he shoots passing lanes pretty well and anticipates fairly well.
Okay.
But I would say he's probably more known as like as a really lockdown on ball defender.
Okay. Okay. And then did you want to say anything about Amari Bailey?
Amari Bailey, guy who might be sneakily rising up after workouts happen. Another guy at UCLA who just, it was hard to find minutes because they already have so many good players that are upperclassmen and they know the system. They know what Mick Cronin wants and they know winning basketball. Not that Amari Bailey doesn't, but those guys were just always going to get more minutes unless Amari Bailey did something absolutely unbelievable throughout the season. And he was a good player, but he wasn't, you know, eyes pop out of your head great. But I think he'll have an opportunity to show a little bit more of that in workouts as well. When he can be more of a focal point, or he has the opportunity to, you know, basically play more minutes and just get himself into the flow of a game much easier.
Okay. Okay. So again, SpursCast listeners, make sure if you want to check out the profiles of those players, make sure to check out Ben's work over on Project Spurs. He's continued to just write, you know, a lot of different prospects. So definitely check out Ben's work. You know, he's going to have a lot of players covered. And I forgot, man, what I did last year was put all the players you had wrote about in my mock draft. So I'm going to make sure to add that as well. You know, all the players, their links and everything like that. So thanks to Ben for joining me here on this episode of the SpursCast. Again, we didn't want to dive too much into this just because we don't know exactly where the Spurs are going to draft. We'll have a better idea once the lottery does take place on May 16th. But I kind of just wanted to get Ben's initial thoughts, you know, going into the lottery with a few weeks left before that takes place. So for Benjamin Bornstein, I am Paul Garcia. We also want to say a shout out to Joe Garcia for mixing and producing this episode. Thank you. Have a great day.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.